And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. And the sons of Reuben, Hanok and Phallu, and Hezron and Carmi, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jechin and Sohar and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. And the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the sons of Judah, Er and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez, and Sehar. But Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar, Tola, and Puba, and Job, and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulon, Sered, and Elon, and Jahiel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram, and his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of Gad, Siphron, and Haggai, Shuni, and Esbon, Eri, and Arodi, and Arel. And the sons of Asher, Jimna, and Isha, and Isu, and Berai, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Berai, Heber, and Melchai. These are the sons of Silpha, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela and Becher and Ashbel, Gera, and Naaman, Ehi, and Rosh, Mupin, and Hupin, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. And the sons of Dan, Hushim, and the sons of Naphtali, Jezreel, and Guni, and Jezer, and Shillem. These are the sons of Bela, which Laban gave unto Rachel, his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. And the souls which came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our class.
Everybody has a book. Let's turn to our lesson today. Jacob is finally going to take his family and go to Egypt. We've been a while getting to this point, but here we are. He's finally decided to go down, so we'll study about it. Everybody has kept up with where we are. And beginning in the 45th chapter of Genesis and the 25th verse, we're going to read down to the end of that chapter, and then we're going into the 46th chapter of Genesis and read a few verses there. And it said, they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father. Now these are the brothers. They're going back from Egypt. They're going back to their home. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, you have to imagine what a shock that had been. All these years, 20-something years, he had thought that Joseph was dead. And now to find that he's alive, and not only is he alive, but he's over the land of Egypt, you might say. So you can imagine how elated he must have felt to find out that his son, whom we know he favored, is still alive. Now, The next verse is out of the 46th chapter of Genesis, in the first verse. It says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac." Now, they stopped at this little place that's called Beersheba. And Abraham, his grandfather, is the one that established this area. Because in Abraham's day, there was also a famine. Now you can find that in the 12th chapter. And also in Jacob's father's day, Isaac, there was another famine. And Abraham had established this altar here. You can read about it there in the 12th chapter. And I'm assuming that that's where Jacob went to. He went to the same place that his grandfather and his father had gone to offer up prayers of thanksgiving. And so on his way, he stopped there first. Now, Terry read that and this is sort of important. Terry read where that when Jacob left his home there in Canaan, that he took 66 souls with everything he had, and it included 66 people. And so he loaded everybody up, got them in these wagons and the camels and the horses, and they all in a caravan headed toward Egypt, stopping first at Beersheba. So we keep that in mind, 66 souls. Although then the verse says, and if I understand this right, there was a total of 70 people, and that included Joseph, his wife, and their two sons. So and what wound up down in Egypt, keep this in mind, what wound up down in Egypt was 70 people. 70 people of the Jewish faith amongst hundreds of thousands of pagans, of Egyptians, slaves, whatever the slaves were, just millions of people. But there were 70 people that went down there and to Egypt. And God spake unto Israel, or Jacob. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." That kind of reminds me of Samuel, when Samuel was just a young lad and God was talking to him. And he went to Eli, thought Eli, the high priest, had spoken to him. And Eli finally perceived it wasn't. It must have been God. He said, "Go back." And God spoke to him again. And Samuel said, "Here am I." I wish we had that much faith today to tell God, "Here am I. Use me. Take me and use me." And Jacob said, "Here am I." And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation." Now, I think the reason that Jacob needed this little shove up here was because Isaac, his father, during the famine that he had lived through, people were going to Egypt again to get food. Because there was nothing there in Canaan. And God told Isaac, says, "Don't you go." I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, "Don't you go. You stay here." And Isaac did. When everybody else was leaving, Isaac obeyed God and stayed there. And he was blessed with it. He was blessed with his following what God wanted him to do. And so Jacob, knowing that, I think had a little reservation about going to Egypt when God had instructed his father not to go. But God told him to go on down. I want you to go to Egypt. Because down there, I'll make thee a great nation. So I think that that lifted Jacob's doubts. And he went on down to Egypt. And it says, this is God still talking to him, "I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thy eyes." Meaning, you're going to go down to Egypt, and that's where you'll die. You'll die there. So Jacob knew, because God informed him, that he was going to go down to this land and he was going to live there until he died. And then somehow or another, Jacob didn't know, didn't understand, but somehow or another God was going to bring him out. And he certainly did. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him unto Egypt. Now, I think next week, I don't know what next week is, let's see. Now, Jacob and all his family has moved down to Egypt, and Jacob is going to see Joseph for the first time in all these years. I'm not really going to get into that because I think Terry can take care of that next week. But I do want to kind of give an overview of what happened when they got down there. And that is, they moved in down to Egypt and they settled in, these 66 people. And they went to Joseph, put them in a place that was the best land around where they might live. And Jacob lived there for 17 more years before he passed away. And they embalmed him and preserved his body and put it in a crypt or something, or whatever it was that they were going to keep him. And one more thing, let me add here. You know how evil his brothers, Joseph's brothers, had been toward him. And even after 17 years, they still were concerned that Joseph was going to get his revenge. But listen, Joseph's heart was guided by God. And Joseph really had no revenge. And you know, that'd be a much better place if we all lived with the actions that Joseph showed his brothers because of what they had wanted. They wanted, they had plotted and they had thought that they had killed him. I mean, they were the ringleaders of this whole thing, if you'll think back. They had thought him long dead, and they still harbored these guilt feelings that they had done this to their brother. And you know, even after 17 years and Jacob died, the brothers became worried again that with Jacob gone, that Joseph was going to come and he was going to, you know, to do more harm to them, to take out his vengeance upon them. And that's not what happened. Joseph embraced his brothers. and expressed his love to them. You know, when you read about this and you learn the dynamics of this family, wouldn't it be great if all of our families could live with the love that Joseph had in his heart for his family? The love that he felt, you know, it'd just be a wonderful place if we as God's people, not only God's people, but this whole world could look at his life and think of how good it would be to be able to live like that and have forgiveness in your heart and to embrace other people. How much better this world would be. Now, to give you a little more oversight to this. After Jacob died, these 60 people, well, 70 people, lived and raised their children and gathered their crops and dwelt in the land of Egypt for another 150 years. I think you all know where I'm going with this. After approximately 150 years, when you know to put yourself in this same shape, you know how you live today. How was it 150 years ago? You know, there's a lot of difference. And it's hard to imagine, you know, how the people lived 150 years ago. Well, after these Israelites had lived for 150 years in Egypt, a Pharaoh came to power who had no real connections to the Pharaoh that was there when Joseph was there. And Joseph has been dead now for all these many years. So there's been a connection that has been severed, that has been cut. Like, we have no connection to anything 150 years ago, neither did these people have that same connection that they had 150 years prior to that. And they were put into slavery. They were put under bondage. And instead of being a free people who were allowed to live and reside there in this country and raise their crops and their families and prosper, they became so numerous and they multiplied. You know, you remember, God told Jacob, and this was what he told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And these people down there in Egypt multiplied. You remember, we studied about when they came out of Egypt, there could have been well over a million people that came out. So this is a story that we're leading to. For 150 years, they lived in relative freedom. And then for the next 250 years, they lived in slavery. Those are rounded off numbers. They're just whole numbers. But for about the next 250 years, they lived as slaves until who was born? In Egypt. Moses. And that was for a purpose. Moses had a purpose. From the time he was born, you can see his life where he was put in Pharaoh's house and raised in Pharaoh's family and became a man of means. But knowing that his background was different, his lineage was different, Moses gathered together these people and followed God's commandment because God had promised Jacob, said, you'll come out of there. And God's promise was fulfilled when they loaded up the embalmed body of Jacob and he carted him to Canaan and buried him there. So you see, God has a plan for everything. He has a plan for everyone, not just a group of people, but I believe his plan comes down to us as individuals. And it behooves us to make contact with God, be receptive to His word and to ask Him, if nothing else, to give us something that He would like for us to do. You know, He came to Jacob in that dream and told him, says, you go on down there. And Jacob went on down there on the promise of God. Now, he uprooted his whole family. I mean, they just left. You think about that. You think about you just giving up everything you've got. Giving up your home, giving up your neighbors, people that you know, and God telling you to go. God telling you to go. And you do. You get up and you go. Well, that's where we all need to be. In a place that when God tells us to do something, we get up and go. And we do it. Because God's promise is an assurity that what He has told you is going to happen. And it's going to be truth. And He informed Jacob of what was going to be done. And Jacob had enough connection to God and understood His presence and knew that if he would just follow what he did, everything was going to be all right. Now, I'm not saying he never had any doubts whatsoever. That's only human in us. But we as God's people need to be in a place where we'll be receptive to what God wants us to do. Just like I mentioned Samuel a while ago as a young child. Now, he was just a young child. And God spoke to him and said, this is what you're going to have to do. And you know what he was going to have to do? This young child was going to have to stand up and tell Eli, the high priest, that he was wrong. Now, that was tough for a young child to do it. But he stood out there on the promise of God that God was going to be with him. And we as God's people need to be in that same condition. We've got to understand that God is here with us. We just need to approach Him, ask Him to give us something to do, and then do it. And if we would all approach God with a receptive heart, I think the blessings would be poured out upon this people like you've never imagined if we would all get ourselves in a place where God can use. And we have that conduit. We have that route to God. Not everybody has that. Not everybody has this conduit to God, but God's people certainly do. And we need to use it. And we need to be about our Father's business. And we need to be doing what He would have us to do. And we need to go to Him. And we need to pray to Him. We need to ask Him to give us that He would have us to do. And then we need to perform that duty. It's our responsibility to see that this message that we've got in our care and keeping goes on to the next generation. And if we fail to do what it is that we have to do, if Moses had failed to do what he had to do, if Jacob had failed in what he had to do, where would this gospel be today? If Jesus had refused to go to the cross, where would we be at today? I mean, he gave the ultimate sacrifice. And I told you a couple of weeks ago. He said, you think I couldn't call 6 legions of angels to come down here and get me? You think they wouldn't come immediately if I just asked them to? Sure they would have. That had been right there. If he had just asked him to, he did. He knew there was a plan. And today there is a plan. And that plan is to try and get this gospel out to a lost and dying world that they might hear the truth, that they might be saved, and that this gospel might be perpetuated on down to the end of time. Amen. Now, God promised it was going to be here. That's what He promised. It's going to be here. Now, He didn't promise it was going to be here in faith. But I sure would like it to be. Whenever that time is, I sure would like to see faith still standing and preaching the gospel. And God saying, well done. So let's pray that we will accept our responsibilities. And we will accept the things that God puts upon us and do them to the best of our ability that God might receive honor and glory. And that this might be a lighthouse to this area around here. that they went out and talked to those people, that something might be done or said. Even if they don't come in here, something might be done or said. It would cause people to pause and think about their relationship with God and where they stand. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. To strive to make disciples for the cause of God. Anyone have anything to say? That's my message. Oh, I quit a little early.
I have one thought about this. It looked like God took a few stubborn people and turned them into a good group.
Well, sure did. That was the plan. That was the plan.
Thinking about a family of Israel, his son, I said that in my book, is sorry, no good.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He did that all right. Anyone else? Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our Sunday school lesson on the topic. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us the next service, which is the best, Heavenly Father, for our own black hole, the best hope that's come this way for Sunday school. Lord, there be one here today that comes to church, Lord. I'll be not free pardon sin, Lord. We pray that they would realize, Lord, that they need to seek thee for their soul's salvation. That's the request that we're made this morning, time to time. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.